Thank you, Sandy. Well, we want to welcome anybody watching live. Would you give them a hand clap and a welcome? Great. And I want to say a big hi to Bob and Estelle. I stayed in their home this week in Fort Lauderdale, and I said I'd say hi to them because they watch every week. So say hello to them. Come on. Great. Hey, before we jump into the message, we're going to take our offering as well. Yeah, let me read a passage real quick from Proverbs 11, if I can find it. Proverbs 11:24 says, "There is one who scatters and yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads," or I've got the old King James in my head, it said, "it tends to poverty." Let me ask you a question. How many of you like poverty? Has anybody ever like just been really poor in their lives? Like, yeah. Yeah, there was a time in my life, not for long, but I was homeless for like a couple of weeks, and that's long enough. And you know, it's actually just track with me for a few moments. I think we don't talk or think enough about this. Poverty is a curse. It's not just the absence of money. It is a curse. When the Lord led the children of Israel out of the desert into the promised land, he had half the priests on one hill and the other half on another hill right opposite. One tribe, one load of priests was shouting out the blessings of God, Deuteronomy 28. Head and not the tail, above only, not beneath, you know, blessing the city, blessing the field. The other priests were shouting out, in a way, if you don't follow God's precepts, these curses will come upon you. It's amazing. To this day, if you look at those two hills in Israel, one is teeming with life, the other is dead. There's nothing on there. And it's amazing how much poverty was part of the curse for Israel. Come on, really, when you get, God called poverty a curse. I know you get many, I call them like these sort of Gnostic replacement theory Christians who go, well, in the Old Testament, God blessed Israel and there were physical things. But in the New Testament, God's only interested in spiritual blessings. That's actually called Gnosticism. The idea that God's only interested in the spirit. God's interested in every part of your life. And until Jesus comes or calls, until we live in the fullness of the kingdom, we're not going to live in the fullness of his, the manifestation of his blessings in our life right now. But I just want you to, I wanted to drop that word in here today. God's against poverty. I was thinking about that this week. You know, the biggest reason I see of people not entering into the call of God on their life, I mean, there are a few reasons. Sometimes lack of training, sometimes fear of man, but poverty is actually one of them. And I love God. I don't think God calls us to be like billionaire, rich. I think God calls us to be free in this area. It's interesting. I was just reminiscing. I was having this conversation with some friends in Florida. It's interesting. Leah and I will have been in this church for 10 years, I think next month or Easter. It's Easter of 2013 we came here. And I actually remember being in the UK when I'd been talking to the people leading this church before, and they're, you know, praying about trying to discern God's will. Should we come and lead this church? And, you know, how would that be? And how do I do that when I'm still traveling? You know, and all these kind of conversations we took over several months. And I remember being in the UK. I actually wrote a letter to the elders of this church. You know, they basically said, we want you to come. And I prayed about it, and I laid out a bunch of conditions. And it's interesting. I said, one of them, I talked with them, and this church had been in debt since before Noah built the ark. And it's not debt in some big, terrible way, just always in debt and remortgaged and credit card this and debt that and debt and debt and debt. And I don't think that was a sin. I'm not criticizing anybody. I just said to those guys, if I come here, I'm not doing that. I just mean I don't want to lead a church. I don't want to be taking offerings saying, can we pay the debt or pay the mortgage off things? And, you know, the Lord led this church through a journey a few years back where we got out of debt. And every week, we'd literally put on the board, here's what this church owes. We never put any pressure on anybody. But by faith, we declare every week, this church is debt-free. And I'll be honest, at times it's felt a little silly. You know, we owe 130. This church is debt-free when you open the mail every week from the bank. Come on, I think just before COVID came, this church got debt-free. And I want you to catch that in the spirit. God wants to set us free from that curse of poverty. That's not about you having billions of dollars in a mattress somewhere. It's about you being a free person. And wherever you're at on that journey, I tell you, God cares about every part of your life. One of the reasons I love taking people on mission trips is actually one of the main reasons people don't go is finance. And I love, and I've done that, and I've never once seen that fail. I love going to people and saying, when you take a step of faith and commit yourself, when you put a bit of skin in the game, look what the Lord will do. And I've never seen God fail somebody. And I think God wants breakthrough. This is part of revival. Yes, seeing people set free. I can go on about this. Everybody's like, yes, you can. No. Come on, in Nehemiah calls a nation to repentance, something we're seeing in the church in America right now, and it's glorious. And part of what Nehemiah does when Nehemiah 8, he calls the people back, he gets Ezra to bring the word of God back into Israel, the reading of the word. And he actually says to the people, you can't serve God with all of these debts on your back, all of these obligations. And he has this massive debt cancellation ceremony, and he sets the whole nation free. Read it. That's the verse when it says, the joy of the Lord will be your strength, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. And God wants his people free. So today as you give, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith, even if it's a first step, and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you to pay my mortgage off. I'm going to pay my car off, pay whatever that is. No shame, no blame, no condemnation. But I believe God wants us free. So Lord, I just thank you that you are passionately interested in everybody's life here, on those who would watch online. I thank you, your word works. And Lord, we refuse that lie of saying, well, God's interested in us spiritually, but not every part of our life. Lord, we want your salvation. We want all grace to abound towards us, that we'll always have sufficiency in all things, and we would abound to every good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. So we're going to pass this basket. If you want to make a checkout, you can do that to SWC. Glory. And if you have a Bible, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. We've got lots of verses today. Who's got a Bible today? Can I see your Bibles? No phones. No, I'm kidding. Get a real Bible. Get one you can write all over. Underline and make it yours. Get a Bible until it falls apart. I had somebody come to me this week and said, Graham, when your Bible falls apart, call me. And they show me some company that does alligator. They get like whatever. Oh, I want an alligator Bible. After being in Florida, yes. Come on, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2 and also 1 Corinthians 12 and a few other places. But we've been talking for a few weeks now about life in the Spirit. How many of you are in the Spirit today? How many of you are not sure? How many of you are in the flesh? James and I were the only ones. You're in the flesh. Get over it. Yeah? If it wasn't for your body, you wouldn't have made it today. You know, God's not against your body. He actually likes it. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't want to go there. But you know, we're not, people are like, when we die and we go to heaven, you're not going to float around like Will-o'-the-Wisp or Casper the Goat. God is going to redeem your body. Yeah, the plan of God is not we're going to float around in heaven. The Bible says, you read it in Ephesians 1:10, heaven is going to come down. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth for a new creation. Jesus is the firstborn amongst many brethren. Jesus has a body right now. Now, he doesn't need Delta to fly him around. I mean, he can walk through the wall. He's got a glorified body. And one day we will have a glorified body. One day we won't need to go to Planet Fitness, Bert. Hallelujah. Do you know what? You're also in the Spirit. Paul says you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit in Romans 8. But then he says if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. At times I'll see Christians trying to get in the Spirit. And it's so funny. And it's like they're trying to rev up the engine. And off we go. And can I say that you're, I'm not mocking, well, actually. They're actually doing a really great thing. They just need to think about what they're actually doing is waking up their soul. You know, when you come into church, your spirit is alive. Your spirit died in Adam. All the way through the Old Testament, we're dealing with people who are physically alive. They have a soul, but spiritually, they're dead. They're cut off from God. God is a spirit, John 4:24. And spiritually, in the Old Testament, people were dead. And in Christ, Romans 8:10, the spirit is made alive because of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Your body didn't get born again yet. You know, it will, you know, when Jesus returns. Your soul didn't actually get born again. You know, if you think about it, some of them are the hang-ups, the pain, the trauma, the different things we had before Christ, we still have when we become Christians. Your soul, God is working on it. Your soul is being, we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're allowing God to change our emotions, our memories, our habits. God is at work on your soul. Your spirit is the one that's born again. Your spirit's been made anew. Your spirit has been joined one with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your spirit is seated in heavenly places. Your spirit is righteous, full of joy. Your spirit has a nature of, your spirit has no problems whatsoever. It's really great we get that and we don't get confused. Like, why am I struggling here? Well, you're struggling in your soul. And what we've got to do, in a way, our journey, our mission in the Christian life is to learn through God's word who we are in the Spirit. But then not to simply say, oh, I'm a righteous person in the Spirit, but then to let who we are in the Spirit work itself out. He doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work out your salvation. Yeah, and to learn to live here in 2023 on the earth who I am in heaven. Not try to be a new person, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And learn to think, I'm a righteous person. Amen. Come on. Turn to somebody and say, I'm righteous. I don't care if you don't look it, you don't smell it. God calls you righteous. Religion says when you act righteously, you can call yourself righteous. The problem is you'll never get there. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and you won't sin. 1 Corinthians 15:34. And what we've got to do is put on that new man, created after him in righteousness and true holiness. How, Paul? By being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23 and 24. Yeah. Hallelujah. So what I want to do today, we've been talking about life in the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. I want to talk about something I've never spoken about before, but I really love and I think is really precious. I want to talk about spiritual discernment, about discerning things spiritually. Does that interest you? And I think it is, I think it's always been true we need this, but I think it's never been truer than it has been today. We need people with spiritual discernment. And I'm going to read a few scriptures on that in the moment, but let me just try and answer this question. What is discernment? To discern means to, I struggle to put an easy definition on that. It means to know what's really going on under the hood. To discern means to know, the Bible says the word of God is quick, powerful, sharp, separating soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:11. We see We as human beings, we judge. We really have five gates into our soul: our seeing, smelling, feeling, tasting, touching. And really, all of the decisions we take are based upon what we see, what we feel, you know, what we taste, and yet God doesn't see as man sees. God sees completely. God sees everything going on. God sees the why of what's going on, the motive of somebody's heart. God sees the consequences of what will happen. And it's so vital for the church, but for us as individuals, that we don't simply live like everybody else lives, that we can discern what's actually happening in a circumstance, in a situation. This is a really vital thing. And again, faith comes by hearing from the Word of God. So I want us to develop and grow our faith and learn how to discern really what's happening. But let's read a few scriptures together. I really want to read 1 Corinthians 2. One of my favorite passages. I think I can quote the whole chapter, literally. But I might enter into pride, so I won't. It's a joke. Come on, verse 9. Eye has not seen, he's quoting Isaiah. Ear has not heard. The gates, remember, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you know God has prepared things for us? Let's keep reading. The next verse says, but God, I learned this in the King James. I like the King James sometimes. It says God has already revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The next verse says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things know no man except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We've received the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things which have been freely given to us of God. What do we do with those things? These things we speak, not with the words which man's wisdom has taught us. Yeah? Where am I? These things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14 says, the natural man, or literally says the natural mind, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the foolishness, neither can they be known or discerned, because they're spiritually known or discerned or understood. Verse 15 says, he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged of no man. Verse 16, he quotes Isaiah again, says, who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Question mark. And then in verse 16, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Not going to have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Do you know you've got the mind of Christ? Hallelujah. It says, he that is spiritual discerns all things. If your Bible says judges, if you look in the margin, you'll probably, exactly the same word as discerned. He who is spiritual judges or discerns all things, yet he himself is not rightly judged or discerned by anybody. So to discern is to know what's going on. Do you know God is never confused? Forgive my British. I was about to say it must be really hard being God at times, but I don't mean that. Here's the point. God has never looked at anything and thought, God's never been led up the garden path. He's never been confused by anything. Do you know God has never been disappointed? In the sense, like, I really thought this was going to happen, and it didn't happen. And do you know God is never disillusioned? He has no illusions in the first place. When God looks at us, he sees completely, and he still loves us. Hallelujah. How cool is that? And it is so vital. I wish I could communicate this. Lord, help me to do that. So much of the plan God has for us is connected with us not taking decisions on what we think looks right, smells right, what makes sense to us. And God has plans that often don't look right to us. When we choose a person, you know, Israel wanted a king. And God said, you know, remember when the Lord chose David? He said, I don't judge like men judge. Men judge by outward appearance. I judge by the heart. And I genuinely think throughout our lives, we're taking at times the wrong decisions because they make sense to us. They add up in our world. Rather than going to the Lord and saying, Lord, what's really going on here? And I believe we will be kept safe. I believe our lives will be saved. I believe our lives will flourish if we can both hear from God, amen, but actually have walk in discernment so we can actually really know what's going on in situations. So again, to discern is to know, to understand what's happening, what will happen, the thoughts, the intents, all of those things. You know, when we talk about spiritual discernment, that we can discern what the Spirit of God is doing. There's discerning what the angelic realm is doing. There's discerning what the demonic realm is doing. But there's also a discernment, you know, at a human level, what's going on there. And I think the Lord wants all of us to grow in three areas of discernment. Okay, area number one, we all have a natural, normal discernment. It's not actually a spiritual gift. It's just something we pick up after a while. Would you agree with that? Hopefully, all of us are good at times at looking at people or situations and going, huh, come on. Hopefully, as we grow in age and we also grow in wisdom, that we begin to recognize patterns in situations or somebody says something and we think, okay, I'll keep my eye on that. Yeah. You know, all of us, do Americans speak about women's intuition? I don't know if I believe in women's intuition. I tell you what I do believe in, though. Usually women are more observant than men. Usually women are more observant about what's going on in somebody else emotionally. Not always, but by and large than men. Usually women are better at reading body language and cues and little things that men are. Most men are simple creatures. Thank God. Give us a coffee and a donut and I'm happy. Oh no. Take this off the video. This is going to be on TikTok. No. But come on, I want you to get that. All of us at times have a thing where we look at a situation or we see a person and we think, I don't trust them. And it's actually important that we pay attention to that, but it's important that we don't confuse that for a spiritual gift. I meet charismatics all the time who think they've got the gift of discernment. There is no gift of discernment. There's the discerning of spirits. And at times, people are just critical. Or at times, they are picking up on things. But that's just a very normal human thing that we should be aware of. But we shouldn't confuse that with hearing from God. Does that make sense? So come on, there is a normal, natural, you know, read the book of Proverbs and you're going to pick up on some wisdom. Yeah, often people will tell me about some business deal they're going to get into or something, and I'm like, I wouldn't touch that with a pole. You know, I'm just like, it's not like a spiritual gift. It's just more like I've been around and critique him, but the discerning of spirits. And what God is able to do at times is put an anointing on us, or rather lift an anointing in us, that shows us what the gift of the discerning of spirits does. It shows us something that's happening in that spiritual world. Again, what God is doing, maybe, you know, what's happening in the angelic realm, something demonic, something that's happening, you know, at a human level. And that's not something we pick up with what we hear, smell, feel, taste, or touch. It's God showing us that thing. And I believe that gift is there. It's in the body of Christ. We need it. We need to pull on it. We need to ask God for it. We need to be hungry for it. We need to make a place for it. I think God will, some spiritual gifts we don't get if we don't ask for. I've shared that here before. I remember years ago visiting a couple, somewhere here in America, and I'm visiting this couple. They they lead a church, and I'm going to speak at their church for 3 or 4 days, and it's the first time I've met them. They'd come to a meeting of mine, invited me, and I'm staying in their home the first night, and they've set up this lovely meal, and you know, we're kind of doing this get to know you thing, and I'm eating this meal, and I suddenly, they start telling me about their new son-in-law, or the guy their daughter's going to marry, and I start feeling really sick, like nausea, like I'm about to vomit, and I'm looking at all this food they prepared me, and I'm like, did I eat something dodgy? And the more they talk, the sicker I feel. In the end, I excuse myself. I run to the bath. By the time I get to the bathroom, I feel great. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I go back. Sit down, eating this delicious food. They start telling me about the new son-in-law to be again. And this feeling comes. And it's literally like one of those Samuel, three times I go to the bathroom. And on the third time, like Samuel, I'm, Lord, is this you? And suddenly, it's like that sick feeling comes back, and I see a picture of this young man, and it's like I'm looking into this person who I hadn't seen, who lives thousands of miles away. And I would go back to this couple who I don't really know and say, like, it could be me and I could be wrong, whatever, but I really feel there's something weird going on here, and that watch out, like, pray about this. Not I am the prophet of God and do, but like, double check, you guys pray about this. Do you know what? Because they trusted me, they prayed about it, they talked to their daughter about it, they started checking out. The guy was a bigamist. He'd already been married. He was married to three different women at that time. He was stealing money, selling things he didn't have. The FBI were out. It was like a train wreck. And God was able to save. You know, it's really funny. A few years later, when this late young lady met an awesome guy, I got to marry them. To the awesome guy. My family, Leah, came as I conducted the marriage, I'm saying, you know. And come on, God has opinions about things. And there are so many situations we get around. So there is a gift of discernment. Here's where I want to go real quick with you guys. 1 Corinthians, we read it there, 2:15, says, he that is spiritual discerns all things. And even other than natural discernment or the gift of discernment, I believe God is looking for mature believers who walk, as it were, all the time in a place of discernment, not a place of criticism, not a place where we think it's our mission to judge everybody, but everywhere we go, it's like a part of us is saying, Lord, what do you see here? What is going on here? Do you know when things like that revival, like a week ago, Asbury, break out, the worst thing you can do is go on social media and pass. What we should be doing is like, Lord, what are you doing in this time, in this season? I'm not interested in a million different opinions about something, good or the bad one. The people saying this is awesome, the people saying this is bad, they're both judging. I want to know what's God saying. Because if you're following somebody else, you'll always be playing catch up to somebody else. When you're discerning, Lord, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do in this season? What do you want to do here? You're ahead of the devil. The devil can never catch you up when you do that. And there is a discernment that God wants us to walk in that isn't just a gift we'll get occasionally. God wants people who are not going to go around judging by what they see, by their memories, but are actually going to be so connected with him that everywhere we go, we're saying, Lord, what do you feel about this? I think the Lord wants to bring us to a place where every time we meet somebody in a way, again, not in some critical lens, but every time we meet somebody, we're kind of saying, what are you stirring in this person's life, Lord? What are you doing there? What's your plan for them? What's your heart for that? I love that when I travel, you know, travel to different nations, different areas. I love going to a place and saying, Lord, what's going on here? And I don't usually ask the Christians. Because after a while, they get so affected by the bad things that sometimes they're not actually able to say. But here's, you know, if you go to a place, if you go to a context, be saying, Lord, show me, discern. Hallelujah. I have had amazing experiences when I've discerned what God is doing. And I've had dreadful experiences when I haven't. I have a friend from the UK, John Scotland. Anybody heard of John? An evangelist and a great guy, funny guy, from Liverpool, where I was born as well, and he's a really amazing guy, actually. Was like a real just street evangelist in Liverpool, working with poor people, went to Toronto, and it's funny, he could hardly speak for several years, he was just laughing. He's got thrown off so many planes, and he's this amazing real man of God, and really is, though. Here's my point. A few years ago, well, it's about 15 years ago, I remember being in New York once, and this pastor from Pennsylvania invited me to preach. And I was like, I'll pray about it. And then my friend John called me. I was talking to John Scotland on the phone, and John said, oh, yeah, I went to that church a few months back. And in my head, I did, well, if John went there, I'll go there. And have you ever done something without asking God? And I visited this church in Pennsylvania for about 2 days. It was a nightmare. I have never felt so yucky in my life. And I visit this church, and immediately I can sort of, as I get near the town, I've got this feeling of like, turn around and leave. Have you ever got one of those? And then I can't, you know, the guy's booked me, and his posters, and the evangelist, I can't do that. And I literally park outside of his car, and I'm like, it's like God saying, don't go there. But you know, Holy Spirit's like a dove. You can override him really easily. And I go into this house, and again, this guy's like feeding me, and I just feel horrible, and it just seems weird. And then I watch how this guy's talking to his wife, and he's like shouting at her in front of me, and I'm like, this is like weird. And then I go to his church, and it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And he starts telling me about this beautiful secretary he's got, and that he's put a curse on her husband, so her husband dies, and he's going to marry her, and... This is before the service. And he's like, yeah. I said, like, I'm going to divorce my wife and I'm married. And I'm in his church, in his office, going like, I literally just had to walk out. And this guy's like shouting at me as I walk out. Like, what? And I drive away going like, I drive away with two thoughts. Lord, I'm really sorry for not listening. And John Scotland, I'm going to kill you. I think my friend John knows. It's the point, I didn't listen to God, didn't pray about it. I just went. It fitted in my itinerary. And I think so often we do things without discerning and asking the Lord. There's a difference in my understanding of God giving you a word. Discerning is more like feeling in the Spirit. It's literally like smelling in the Spirit. It's like God giving you another sense of what's going on there, what should be going on there. I don't mean to be weird here, but I see people all the time who are in the wrong church, in the wrong calling, in the wrong workplace, in the wrong thing, because they've taken decisions based on what seemed to make sense, naturally speaking, rather than saying, Lord, where are you? The great thing about God is God skates to where the puck is going, not where it is now. And at times, whenever we take decisions, they're usually based on our past, and the little we discern from the present. God is the wisest person in the universe because he sees all of the future. And at times, God will set us up in situations which they're not connected with our past or our present. They're connected with our future. They're not connected with who we are, but with who we're going to be. So how do we grow in discernment? How do we move in discernment? Come back next week and I'll tell you. There's soup downstairs and there's... No, let me give you five keys really quickly. Come on, number one, you've got spiritual discernment. You are spiritual. What we need to do is learn to listen. If you only catch one thing I say today, catch this. The more you spend time with God and hang out with him, the more you look at a circumstance or a person or a situation and see what's happening. The nearer you get to God, the more you spend time in the purity and the holiness and the beauty of God, the more you'll see what's actually happening. There's something about being with God that opens our eyes. And what we shouldn't be looking for is some gift or some anointing or something. We should spend a lot of time with Jesus. The more you spend time with Jesus, you get around something which Jesus doesn't like or which smells off to Jesus, it'll begin to smell off to you. It's funny, every time I fly to Europe, every time you fly to Europe, you always fly overnight. And I never sleep on a plane. And I'm one of those people, when I go to the airport, like most of you know, I get a shower before I get my clean clothes. By the time I land in London or Frankfurt or wherever, I smell like a gorilla's armpit. I'm sure I don't, but I feel like I'm not shaving my hair, and I'm just haven't slept, I'm grumpy, and
I've seen some of you fly overnight. So don't. But you see what I'm saying? And I'm usually there, like next to some businessman flying from London to Manchester. Now he's just got out of the shower and he's after he's clean, and I'm like. Now, when I was on the plane with all the other Americans flying over, who also smelled like gorillas, and even the flight attendants after a while, they've been working 20 hours. None of us noticed the lights are dim and we're all like, But when you step, here's my point, contrast shows you things. And God wants us to spend so much time with him that we get around other situations and straight away we see what's going on. The problem with the body of Christ, not you guys, just the other side. With all of us, is we love God, we are in the Spirit, but we don't spend time there. And we spend time with the world, watching the world's TV shows, washing, and after a while, we don't tend to notice. And at times, the Spirit of God is speaking and showing us things that it's not appearing on our radar. And we've got to, the discernment comes from being with Jesus. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more these things will grow, the more you'll see these things. Come on, key number two, what we've got to do if we want to grow in discernment is practice not leaning on our own understanding. And at times, God will have all of us in situations where what we see isn't what we see, what we feel. And it's like the Lord is saying, don't trust what you see. Trust what I'm saying to you. Trust what you're feeling with me. Yeah, don't be pushed into those things, but listen to me, learn of me. Yeah, we need to. I get this occasionally. I had this a couple of weeks ago where at times I'll have business people, people who partner with my ministry, people who call me and say, Graham, like, I've got this deal, and it's like somebody said this to me recently. I'm so near to the project that I can't hear from God anymore. I know so much about the intricacies and I want this to happen and all that, it's like it's blocking out God. And occasionally, it's good to have other people who are not as near to something as you are, who have no emotional investment in, and say, what do you see going on here? What do you hear God saying? So we've got to learn to not lean on our own understanding. Agreed? I remember being a young man once, traveling in ministry. Let me go back. Once years ago, in about 1986, I'm in London, in a really boring prayer meeting. One of those prayer meetings that not even the devil would go to. You know, it's just like, it's boring. I'm in this pastor's prayer meeting, like on a Wednesday morning, and I'm working with the church, and I've got all the local pastors. Everybody's snoring. Do you know one of those prayer meetings where you end up reading the book of maps, the book of concordance, just to stay awake? And I suddenly look up, and there's this really old guy, like about 55. I was 17. You know, everybody's old, you know. I'm nearly 55. Okay. Here's the point. There's this guy there I'd never seen before looking at me. And I'm looking at him. And something happened in the spirit when I looked at this guy. And I looked around the room at all the other people. And then this guy looks at me and he kept smiling at me. Not in that way. We've covered what kind of church we are. And in the end, this guy, he sort of came over to me and he's like, do you want to go and get a coffee? This guy, he was an evangelist from Canada. And he took me out for a coffee and he literally said to me, he said, I don't know what this is, but God has I feel there's a connection for me and you in the spirit that he said, I've really felt. And he said, this is like a separate to me, Paul and Bart. He said, I feel God might want us to do something together. And he said, I know that's strange. You don't know me. And he said, but I want you to pray about it. And I did, and I went to some of his meetings. I traveled with this guy for a couple of years when I was, that was like my Bible school in a way, and I felt that same thing. You know, at times, God, you need to discern what's happening in human relations. Not be judge or critical, but actually say, what's God's relationship for us? What's the spirit relationship? Not the, well, I get on, and you like this, the same hobby I like, and you like, no, that's, don't base relationships on human. Don't find somebody to marry because you went on some silly app and it matched 10 qualities. I'm sorry. I have so much trouble I'm getting myself into today.
My point is, get that. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to the right. Can you meet someone? And I guess you can. I'm not against that. I'm against people taking decisions based on what they see, and usually they pay a price for later by finding out that's not, God knows what's going on under the hood. And that's a good deal. I remember a couple of years later, being with this guy, Don, this evangelist, and we're in a church, and this girl starts like screaming and, you know, like the head spinning around. And everybody drags her off and goes, great, we're going to do deliverance on this girl. This guy came to her. They invited this guy, Don, you know, he's leading the service, come and cast this demon at this girl. He came to her, looked at her and said, she doesn't have a demon. And walked off, and the girl is still. And all these, this is the 80s, this is pigs in the parlor. All the Christians are going, of course she has a demon. We see her doing this, we hear her doing this, and they called it, he came again, looked, she doesn't have a demon at all. And in the end, they said, will you pray for? He came, and I remember I'm with this guy. He whispered in her ear, and he said, shut up. And she did. And then he said to her, I literally remember him saying, he said, this isn't real. You do this to get attention. You like the fact that people don't pay attention to you, and you'll get a whole bunch of guys spending the whole attention. And he said, God loves you, but this is wrong. And he said, if you'll repent, you know, God will forgive you. And she did. And he got up and she apologized to him. It's funny. He's the only one who didn't judge what he saw. It's like he looked and then looked. Come on, God wants us to look and look. At times we can look and see the Spirit of God moving in a place that nobody sees. And God's, at times, I think, if you know, as you walk around Walmart, at times you'll see God's working on somebody's life, and it's not obvious. And you go, they've got an earring and a tattoo. Well, so what? I mean, that's don't judge by man's appearance. You know, let's be people who judge by what we see. Come on, nearly done here, but how else do we grow in this? We've got to have some humility. Let me give you two more keys, and I've done this. If you think you're discerning something, don't become the next prophet Elijah. Grow in discernment, learn. Start with some humility. It's okay saying, you're better saying, I kind of feel this, and sharing it with appropriate people who can pray about it. We need each other, and God is not going to give any one person all the discernment we need to do the things we know. He won't give it to me. That's why we need each other. That's why we should have elders. And I don't mean like a board. I mean people who are older in the faith, who together can discern. When the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the people came together and they said, what does this signify and what should we now do? When the Spirit of God was poured out on the Gentiles in Acts 10, it's like the brethren and the ladies. You know, it's like they came together and wanted to discern the mind of the Lord. Let's not just, you know, do what everybody else does. What is God saying to us? And I think we need each other in that process. We don't need to be lone rangers. We need to be connected in community, submitting what we see. If it's God, other people will piggyback on that. Hallelujah. Come on, I got too many stories in this one, but I'll close with this. I remember 11 years ago, about 12 years ago, actually, the Lord had spoken to me about moving to America, about reversing what I was doing. Rather, I used to live in France and kind of come and do trips to America. And the Lord said, I want you to move to America and then start doing trips, taking teams into Europe. And I was really sure I'd heard from God, but I also didn't want to miss it. And I remember with Leah going to about five or six people in ministry I really trusted. People who'd been in ministry 20 or 30 years longer than I had. People I really trusted the voice of the Lord. I wasn't asking their permission. I wasn't going to obey them in some way. But I kind of went and said, here's what I think I'm seeing. And I said, I want you guys to pray. And if you think I've got a blind spot here or I'm missing it, I give you permission to tell. Do you know, every single person said exactly the same thing. The first thing they all said is, we've known that for years. Yeah, tell us how we can help. Tell us what you need. But I wanted to trust the voice of the Lord in others. So come on, I want to encourage you. You've got spiritual discernment. You've got it. Our challenge is to use it, to lean on it. to switch it on, so to speak, to take the time to say, Lord, what's really going on? Oh, God, forgive me. I know I'm nearly out of time, but can I suggest go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on with our kids, with your grandkids? Discern, the Lord knows. He knows the right prayers to pray. When you get, you know, they bring their friends home or different things, don't just judge. Say like, Lord, where is this? Where are these relationships going? God knows. And he wants us to be a seeing people. Come on, I'll finish with this. If you've got a Bible, go to 1 John 2. Many of you can quote it, I know. But I want to end with this. I just want you to see it with your own eyes. 1 John 2 verse 20 says, you have, not going to have, not if you work hard enough, not if you give enough, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. That doesn't make me a know-all. But it means I know and I'm known by the one who knows everything. And the anointing within us knows everything we'll ever need to know. Real quick, flip down to verse 27. It says, the anointing you've received abides within you. He doesn't come and go. I don't need to go and catch a new one every 2 weeks. The anointing you've received abides within you. What does the rest of it say? It says, you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, and you will abide in him. That doesn't mean we don't need the ministry of a teacher in the body of Christ. We do. God gives us teachers. But you know what? I can teach you till the cows come home if the anointing in you isn't taking the words I'm speaking and teaching you. It's just bouncing off your head. It's just head knowledge. And God knows every situation. You'll never be in a situation where God doesn't know what to do. You'll never be in a situation where God goes, plan B. All of our failures, and I have them too, are when we do our thing and we didn't inquire of the Lord. We didn't go to him and say, Lord, show us. And I want to pray on that basis today. Let's have a confidence, a biblical confidence, that we've got an anointing that will teach us and show us and guide us everything we need to know. Come on, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for a people of discernment. Lord, I thank you. We declare by faith, he that is spiritual discerns all things. We're the spiritual men and women, and we will discern all things you need us to discern. Lord, I thank you. We won't be led astray by every wind of doctrine, by every little thing that blows through. Lord, I thank you for your anointing in us that will keep us safe, that will show us, that will prepare us, that will anchor us, that will allow us to make godly decisions based on godly wisdom, not on human wisdom. And Father, we pray for our lives, for our church fellowship, for our nation. Lord, let us, I pray you'll raise up godly men and women in our nation who won't live in reaction to the latest balloon, but will be hearing from heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll raise up, and I didn't go there, but the sons of Isaac, who had discernment of the times and seasons, 1 Chronicles 12:32, who knew what God was doing and who would unify around what you were about to do, men and women who could keep rank, who were stout-hearted, not double-minded, who came together with one agenda to make David king. And Lord, I pray that you'll raise up a sons of Isaac, a generation, people who are not doing what is right in their own eyes, but marching according to your drumbeat with one agenda to proclaim King David's greatest son as the King of Kings. And Lord, I just speak your life, your blessing, your glory, wisdom from heaven on every person here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Glory. Hey, well, Leah makes great soup. Stay and have some soup if you can. We're going to have our prayer team out here in a moment if you'd like some prayer. I just want to say that as a church as well. If you ever just want to come to the front, there's nothing magical about the front, but if you want to come and just, you know, pray and cry out to God, or you don't always need prayer. Sometimes it's good to get some prayer. Sometimes just you just want to spend some time meeting with God or interact with Him. That's a really good thing as well. You know, feel free to ask for prayer, but feel free to say, I just want to do some me and God business. Amen. But stay and have some fellowship if you can. We love you guys. If you need to run, have a wonderful week in Jesus' name.